Okay, we've been discussing various perspectives, definitely various viewpoints on how it is that Cheskas Gimel Shanim works. I want to just round that out today and start discussing some of the Nafkamina as it develops through other Gemaras here. Okay, so the last thing we discussed, we started on Chav Ches, we're now on Chav Ches and Aleph. The last thing we discussed in the, thank you very much, the I guess the most normative view of the Gemara is the view of the final Rava. So let's just look at that for a minute and then just analyze more fully some of the views and some of the Nafkamina, and then we'll have a chance to go on, next week probably. The Gemara here in Chav Ches and Aleph quotes Rava as saying that three versions of Rava, as we've already discussed. The first version of Rava, which we're not going to read now, but I'll just remind you of, is that within 3 years, people are unlikely to be mochel, they're likely to concede their rights. After 3 years, somebody doesn't stand by and watch somebody else squat in their property, trespass in their property, and if they're silent, then that silence is suspicious. The Gemara rejected that view of Rava because the Gemara said that if that's true, then if there's really a mechila at work until the point of 3 years, then whenever there's a confiscation of the property, then one would think that there should not be a reimbursement of the payros. Because if I'm conceding and I'm allowing you to squat on my property and to eat my payros, then if I throw you out after 2 years or 2.5 years, I should have no right to collect. I should be able to throw you out, but I can't charge you for the payros that I conceded that you were allowed to eat. It should be hadri arev hadri payri, as the Gemara puts it. So then the Gemara said, okay, we have to refine our definition, and the Gemara came up with a second version of Rava, Elama Rava, Shata Kamaisa Lekapid, Didish Tarti Lekapid, Tlos Kapid. This is 3, 6, about 12 lines down. So the Gemara's idea was not totally different, but a kind of a refinement of the first. And that is that if a person is silent for 3 years, that is damaging to his credibility. We don't believe him anymore. We believe the other fellow. However, within the 3 years, he's not going to be mochel. Within the 3 years, he's simply going to look the other way. And the difference is that if he challenges and he throws the other fellow out from his property, so then he's able to recharge him to reimburse for payros as well. That's the advantage of the second view of Rava. But the basic principle, which is that Cheskas Gimel Shanim works based on shtika smarakama, the fact that he is silent in a way that is problematic, that idea is expressed by the second view of Rava. Then the Gemara doesn't like that, or seemingly, because the Gemara says, Elamei Elmar Baya, if that's true, Elamianta Gagon Hanid the Bay Baral Yashiv, the Kapti Apilaman the Khalifa Mitzra Divhu, Hakanamid La Alta Hava Chazaka. The Gemara says if that's true, then if you have somebody who's even more makbid than normal people, somebody who's very strict about people violating his property, so then you should have an immediate chazaka, not a chazaka after Gimel Shanim, like Baral Yashiv. And the Gemara says, lest you say you're right, the Baal Yashas of this world have an immediate chazaka, unless you say that, then you've already compromised the objectivity of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, and that won't do, and we discuss the details of that. So then finally, the Gemara turns to the final version of Rava, and says as follows, Emelema Rava, Shanta Kamaisa Mizdar Inish, Vishtare, Tarti, Utlas, Mizdair, Tvelo Mizdar. This is the final word, this is the Psak Halacha. Based on this line of the Gemara, the question is, if this is the Psak Halacha, well, what does it all mean? On the surface, it seems like the Gemara turned its back completely on the previous perspective. The previous perspective was, there's no such thing as a Tisa in Karka, and therefore the Maksik can never win. However, if the Marakama is silent for too long, he can lose, because we don't believe him anymore. So the only way for the Maksik to win is for the Marakama to lose. And then Rava turned around and said, one way of reading the Gemara, the exact opposite. The Maksik develops a Chazaka, and he should win. The only thing is, he can't win as long as we have a counterclaim, a Reisa, and that is, Ach v'lishtare, show me the Shtar. If he can't show the Shtar within 3 years, that is damaging to his credibility, and as such, it'll delay or destroy his prospects. But once you can neutralize the reis of Akhvishtare, then you're back to the question of Chazaka versus Marakama, and Chazaka beats Marakama. That's a simple reading of Rava. That's how the Ritva read Rava. The Ritva just added one line and said that Rava thinks that Cheskas Karka and Tfisas Metalpalin are Ainuhach. Just like when it comes to Metalpalin, if I pick up any object and I claim it's mine, I win it immediately. So to in Karka, in theory, I'd win it immediately. The delay is only because of Akhvishtare, which exists in Metalpalin. In Karka, doesn't exist in Metalpalin. Otherwise, they're identical in every way. And that's what Rava the Third, meaning Mizarnish Pishtare, was Mechadish. What we saw last week was that there are other ways to read this Gemara. One way is the second way of the Ramban and Daf Mem Beis Mem Aleph, the second version, which we read last week, and I'm just going to tell you what he says quickly, which is that instead of seeing the third Rava as an about-face rejecting the second and first Ravas, namely Marakama's silence is not the problem at all. The problem is the Chazaka itself, as long as there's no Reisa. No, the Ramban goes back to the first two Ravas. The Ramban says, really, the silence of the Marakama is what is Koveya. The problem is to answer the problem of Baral Yashiv. Because what did Baral Yashiv say? Or what do we say with Baral Yashiv? That you have an individual whose silence is immediately suspicious. And such an individual, why do you have to wait 3 years to take the karka away from him? As soon as he's silent, he's not calling his lawyer when he has such a trigger, you know, finger when it comes to trespass, then obviously the property belongs to the other party. Why do you have to wait 3 years? So the Ramban says that's where the third Rava comes into play. Rava says the reason you have to wait is because it's true. From the very beginning, the Shtikas Marakama is a raya against the Marakama, but there's also a raya against the Maksik, Akhvishtarech. Once you get rid of Akhvishtarech, then that immediate Kazaka, which would have otherwise begin, that immediate silence, or significance of that silence, which would have occasioned an immediate Chazaka, is going to win the day. That's the view of the Ramban. So the Ramban and the Ritva are basically similar in one respect. They both believe that Akhvishtare is a reyesa, which delays what would have been an immediate Chazaka 3 years. In that sense, the Ramban and the Ritva are identical. In another respect, they're exactly the opposite. Why? Because the Ritva thinks that the basis of the Maksik's winning is Tfisa, and the Ramban thinks that the basis of the Maksik's winning is nothing he does at all, but the golden silence of the Marakam. Okay. There's a middle shita in between those two, which I was mentioning at the very end of last year, which I want to show you inside now, just for a second, and that is the Rajva. If you could turn just for a minute to page 3, exactly. This is a very important Rajba. It's in the camp of the second day of the Ramban, namely that the silence in the Marakama is the basis of Chesed Kimel Shanim. But there's a very important difference. The difference is that for the Ramban, that silence is significant from day one. It's only artificially held back by the reis of Akhvishtare. For the Rajba, as we'll see in just 1 second, the silence of the Marakama is only significant if it lasts 3 years. If it doesn't last 3 years, his silence is meaningless. One could say that for the Ramban, the silence that is important is a reactive silence. It's on a human level. The Ramban thinks any time somebody's on somebody else's property, then all things being equal, he should be responding immediately. If we were talking about his reflex, right, his automatic human response. The Rajba thinks that the issue is not an automatic human response, but a more of a strategic kind of response. This is the Rajba. Ela Marav. Slashni Mizar is Bishari Tvela Mizar. Klomar. Shize Yodea. This Barakama knows the Tvela Mizar. Kilo Micham Toch. Gimel. Nechsi Kimarim Lishtok. Achiyoved Zera Yosa. So what that means is very simple. The Rizva says, listen, the guy knows that the other fellow is going to hold on to his evidence for 3 years. So if he waits 3 years and a day before he levels his challenge, that's awfully suspicious. Meaning, if I'm in the right and I'm telling the truth that I'm the Marakama and that he is a squatter on my property, right, then he cannot defend himself by producing a shtar because there is no shtar, because there was no transaction. So why am I waiting specifically, right, one day after 3 years or beyond that, when I know it's unlikely that even if he had a shtar, right, he would have thrown it out? Why don't I challenge him within the 3 year period where his inability to produce a shtar, right, is a much stronger proof that he's lying? So the strategic decision to delay the challenge to a moment when the machzik has lost his defensive capacity, that is suspicious. That's what these words mean. I'm going to read it one more time. Shezeyodeya, this guy knows, meaning the Barakama, titzvei lo mizdar, kilo micha toch gimel, mechzikimarim lishtok ad sheyoved zeriyosa. Since he knows the pattern of human behavior in holding on to evidence, his decision to wait is a cynical decision, one which reflects his dishonesty. So then, the Rajva goes on to say, "Ubahachi solke shmaita the tama the gimel shanim mishemitlas mizdayer tvelo mizdayer." That's the pshat in the Gemara when it says that according to Rava, everything depends on hisdar and lo hisdar. Meaning, again, according to the Ritva, what does it mean? There's a tfisa which should win the machzik an immediate chazaka, but we have to justify the delay. The delay is the reyasa of achvishtar. According to the Ramban, right, the basis for chazaka is shtikas marakama from day one. Because on a human level, when somebody trespasses your property and you don't say a word, that's really suspicious. However, the reyasa holds it back 3 years. That's why I said there's something in common and opposite between the Ritva and the Ramban. But according to the Rajba, the way to read the Gemara is as follows. The basis for the chazaka is a significant silence by the Marakama. But that significant silence isn't based on the human response alone. It's based on evidence that there's a cynical strategic maneuver. And that is rooted in the reality of Gimel Shanim Isdar Inish Mishtare Tve Lo Isdar. So when the Gemara says Isdar Inish, it's not telling you that that's the basis of the Chazaka or the delay for the Chazaka. What it's telling you is that's the reason why Gimel Shanim is the shining moment to define Shtikas Marakama. It's all about Shtikas Marakama. Isdar defines when Shtikas Marakama becomes significant. Now, if that's true, you can see the difference, then according to the Rajva, at least from the Gemara, there is no evidence that Gimel Shanim and Achvishtare serves as a reyasa that would ever delay anything. According to the Rajba, the significance of the Gimel Shanim is to figure out when you're being genuine, or when can we give you the benefit of the doubt you're being genuine, and when is it so clear that you're likely being cynical. But the Gemara never said, according to the Rajba's reading, anything about delaying the rights of the machzik because he can't produce a shtar. There's no such halacha. Or at least we don't know such halacha from this Gemara the way it's being read by the Rajba. What I'm trying to point out is that the different perspectives and different readings have carry with them other consequences. So that, for example, I think I mentioned last week, the Ksoza Choshen asks several questions against the Ramban. One is from the Gemara Lamed Hamed Beis, and the other from the Gemara Lamed Bam Ben Aleph. The Gemara Lamed Hamed Beis, which we read last week, says that if the Marakama hands the Machzik a basket full of peiros, right, and he doesn't claim that he, you know, le peiros aradativ, that I have a contract with him about payros. He doesn't say anything. So then, la'alter have a chazaka. Then the maksik doesn't have to wait 3 years. He gets an immediate chazaka. That is the view of the Gemara. Son of the peiri, a basket full of fruit. Then the Gemara, Lamed Vav and Aleph, says, if you have an eved katan, a muta barisa, you have a little eved, a little baby eved, right, and he's on the doorstep of, or in the possession of a certain person, right, so la'alter have a chazaka. Then you have an immediate chazaka. You don't have to wait 3 years. So the Ksos HaKoshen asks a question. Just look at it very quickly. Kuf. Kuf Lamed Gimel. No. Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Katan Beis. This is on page 8. Page 8. The Imhu Katan. The Perek Cheskos Abatim, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Anybody have it? Okay, the bottom of page 8. Amar Rabba, Im Haya Katan Mutabarisa Yeshu Chazaka La'alter. The Gemara says, if you have a Eved Katan, the Chazaka takes place immediately. The Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Well, Tricha Disle, Ima, he has a mother, maybe we're afraid that the mother dropped him off there. Then the Gemara says, no, a mother wouldn't do that to a child. Okay, good. No mother forgets her child or just drops him off indiscriminately. So the Ksos says, V'ikal Medak, right? Kivin davadim b'nei shtara, namele achve shtara. Don't we have a rule that says that if we anticipate that you should have a shtar, and you can't produce it, that that's a strike against you? Don't we have such a rule? In which case, if you have an evet katan, right, if the transaction, if there was one, likely included a shtar, so within 3 years, we should say ach bisharech. That's the Ksos's question. Taha, well, if you match a kasa for Ramban, the parakaska sabatim, because isn't that the way the Ramban read the Gemara on Chavtesim and Aleph? The Ramban and Membeis read the Gemara on Chavtesim and Aleph this way. The Tamid cheskas gimel shana bekarka, haynu mishum de roi, leos kaskasa le'alter. He should have had an immediate kazaka, kiva de shasak, or glayim ludavar, because his silence is damaging to his credibility. Ella, the only thing holding off, staving off the immediate chazaka is the tochim laminu le'ach ve'shtarech. Behuva dvar simin kufmem sivkat beis, which we'll get to in a minute. The Ksos says, I elaborated on the Ramban in an earlier piece. And if that's true, that the Gemara, according to the Ramban's reading, says that whenever you can't produce an anticipated shtar, that's a strike against you. How come there's no strike against him in the Eved Katan? Now, according to the Rajba, and Rabbi Yonah says similarly, there's no question. Because the Rajba and Rabbi Yonah think that the basis of Keses Gimel Shana is Mishtikas Marakama. But it's not that it would have been immediate had it not been for the strike against you. It's at the three-year point, or after 3 years of silence, and only after 3 years of silence, is there a raya, right, about suspicious behavior. But the Gemara never said anything, according to the Rajba, about the inability to produce a shtar being a rayasa, a raya against you. So there's no such Gemara. So therefore, when the Gemara says, Eved Katan works immediately, or Tana de Peri work immediately, Is there a problem with Achli Shtarech? No. There, the evidence of your complicity when you hand over the box of, or the basket of payros. Or in the case of Eved, because it's like Tfisas Metalkalin. So there's a reason for an immediate Chazaka. But where the basis of the Chazaka is Shtikas Marakama, and Shtikas Marakama is only significant if it lasts all 3 years, right? That's a different story entirely. So for the Rajba and Rabbi Yonah, the questions against, the Ksos' questions against the Ramban never get off the ground. That's the point that I want to make.
Well, yeah. Why does Ramban assume that there's a shtar for an Eved Kanani? The chances are it came from there's no...
We're talking about, remember the case. This isn't Ramban's fault.
Right?
What?
You found it in your possession.
Well, you didn't find it. You claim there's a dispute about the ownership of an Eved Katan, to the exclusion of the mother. Meaning the lokeah, the maksik says, I bought this Eved Katan. The Marakama says, I own the mother. I own the child, and I'm the Marakama, and I don't know who this guy is. Right? So that's 1 second. So each one, so the Maxik has a claim as a taina, just like if it had been a piece of karka. Now, the question is, who do we believe? Now, there aren't 3 years, there's only an hour. But he's on his doorstep, he's in his property, in his possession. That's the question. So now we understand very well what's going on. If there was a transaction like the Maxik is claiming, the Maxik doesn't say the Marakama wasn't the owner of the mother or of the child. He's saying, I bought this Ebed from the Mocher.
So do we always assume it's a star whenever you buy an
Ebed? Avadim and Karka.
But if you confess it, why do we always assume it's a star?
That's a good question. But no more so in Ebed than in Karka. If you ask the question, is it conceivable to do a kinyan without shahr, the answer is absolutely. Chazaka, keseth. The umdana, the strong umdana is that whenever something like karka or avadim exchange hands, that there's always at least a shahrai. Not necessarily a shahr kinyan, but a shahrai. And even though there could be a shahr in metalkalin, generally the assumption is that in Metalkalin some people do and some people don't, and in Karka and Avadim there's always, maybe because it's a more significant transaction. Like if you're going to sell a piece of real estate, you're going to want a contract. If you're going to sell mobilia, maybe you won't. That's the assumption of the Gemara in general. That's the assumption. No one's disputing that assumption. If that's true, then how come Ach Mishtarech isn't Ma'akev the Eved Katan, and it is Ma'akev the Karka? The answer may be because in Karka it's based on Shtikas Marakama, and according to the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yonah, that only begins in 3 years. Whereas Eved, there is an aspect of Tvisa, even though it's Godros. We'll get to that maybe some later, but at least the Rambam. The Rambam, actually, interestingly enough, when he talks about Eved Katan and Eved in general, doesn't have it in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Toein and on. He has it in Perek Yud Hilchos Toein. What's the significance of that? The Rambam starts that the whole discussion of this dispute over ownership begins in Perek Ches Hilchos Chayim V'Nitan in the Rambam with Metalkalin. Right? That's where you have the Din of Tvisa. Ches Tes Yud, Perek Yud Aleph is Karka. The Rambam deals with Avadim in the end of Metalkalin, not in the beginning of Karka. And there are, I think, other indications as well about this point. So the point is that there's a very different basis for winning here. It's not necessarily Shtikas Marakama. It may very well be Tfisas Ha'eved.
According to the Rashba, the Rambam, like itself, wants to suggest?
No. The simple reading of the Rashba, and like the Ramban, then it's Doraisa. But even though it's Doraisa, there's no Reisa Dishtare. It's that the Isdari Inish is used for a totally different purpose in the Rashba. For the Rashba, it's to define the moment of convincing silence, whereas for the Ramban, it's to delay the impact of convincing silence that starts immediately, to delay that 3 years based on the Reisa. And that's a totally different idea. Now, the Rashba goes on to say something very, very important. Let's go back to the Rashba for a minute, page 3. Because, again, you get a flavor for the consistency of the Rishonim, not necessarily across different sugyas, but at least in the same, sometimes across different sugyas too, but in the depth of their thinking. So the Rashba says like this: if Shtikas Marakama after 3 long years, because it implies cynicism rather than a genuine outrage, if that's really the basis of Chesed Gimel Shanim, so the Rashba says, I have a good question. And that is, why do we care so much about the quality of the Mukzakos? Meaning, this Shlomo, if you say that Cheskas Gimel Shanim is based on creating a Tvisa, or it's based on an immediate Tvisa, so how the guy conducts himself, the Maxik and the Karka, is very important. But if Cheskas Gimel Shanim has nothing to do with what the Maxik is doing, it has everything to do with the reaction of the Marakama, then why do we care so much what the Maxik is doing in the Karka? So why is it, for example, the Gemara says that certain activities are considered to be a chazaka, and other activities are not? That's the Rashba's question, which follows from his analysis. So that's the next line. The Ella, he says, Miu, I'm sorry, the Elamiu, I'm 3 lines down in the Rashba, Haikama Megan Agid Nami Bachilas Peiros. He says, don't think that this rationale of Shtikas Marakama, being cynical, isn't still connected with the quality of what the Machzik is doing in the Karka. Why? Tahanir Lohav Chazaka, V'chein Apik Kura, V'ayil Kura. I mean, if your behavior, your conduct in the Karka, isn't particularly violent-like, right, then it's not a Chazaka. And the question is why? If the reason is cynical silence, right, so why do we care what the Machzik is doing? The answer is because it's a response, in part, the cynical silence is also a response to what's happening in the karka. How threatening is what's happening in the karka? Moreover, is Dorinish Mishtare itself is a function of that. In other words, and that's what Raj is about to say, I'll just tell you what he says first. He says, Raj says as follows. He says, the Machzik's going to throw out his shtar after 3 years. Why? Because 3 year is the limit in clutter. Right? Some people may think that. The Rashba says no. Because after 3 years of silence from the challenger, you know, you begin to breathe a sigh of relief. After 3 years he hasn't said anything, it's pretty safe for me to get rid of my evidence. Right? But if you have good reason to think that your behavior has not been sufficiently provocative to him so that his 3 year silence, you know, is not indicative that he'll never challenge, because maybe once you start doing something more rigorous in the karka, you know, maybe he will challenge. Then you should be holding on to your shtar. And then the expectation that you are, that he's going to get rid of it is incorrect. So you've expanded his Dorinish Mishtare. And the second you expand his Dorinish Mishtare, then what have you also done? You've eliminated the cynicism of waiting 3 years in 1 day. Maybe for this kind of behavior, it's 5 years in 1 day, or 7 years in 1 day. That's the next line of the Rashba. The Tamid Bilsa, 1 second, let me read it first. The Tamid Bilsa, Mishum, the high time of the plus Mizdair, Tveila Mizdair, Lav Kihokasov, the low time of the Katina Lay. The Rashba says, what do you think? It's Exeris HaKasuv, the Gimel Shanim, and the Zdarinish. Ella B'taima Talia. This is an eminently rational law, says the Rashba. What's it based on? Bu Mishum. The Kivin Derubim Shum B'Adam Makpinim B'Achilas Peres Gimel Shanim. Since the reaction to somebody living in your karka at least for three whole years, right, would trigger a negative response in almost anyone. Like Rava said previously, but less than that 3 year period, not so. That's why he has to keep his shtar, because until that point, people aren't necessarily so makbid, and therefore the silence is not evidence that they're never going to press charges. On the other hand, if you reach the threshold of people's tolerance and there's no outstanding challenge, then you can breathe a sigh of relief and you can get rid of your shtaros. Whatever the case, if your behavior in the karka is not particularly rigorous, it's just, you know, you're there, but you're not doing much to provoke him. Adayin halokhin nizharin, that you should be holding on to your shtar, because the test of his silence has not yet come. D'choshin shemelo choshra bailan la'arer, kim shemakul gimel peros. And therefore, says the Rashba, under those circumstances, is darish shtare is more than three, and therefore chazak is more than three. Then skip down a couple lines, he says, the Rashba says this goes in two directions. You could have a situation where your behavior in the karka is not threatening, and then his darish mishtari takes more than 3 years. Or you could have a situation where your behavior in the karka is so threatening that after 10 minutes you better be doing something, otherwise you're never going to challenge now or forever hold your peace. For example, Kaviyah Damarav Aishas Ish Tzricha Limchos. The Gemara says that an Aishas Ish, right, when her husband is in the karka, she's obligated to issue a challenge against him. Bakshin and Allah, the Gemara says, Mimasnisa, the Ktani Laish Kazaka, Benichse Ishto. Normally you say that an Ish cannot develop a Kazaka, Benichse Ishto, because their relationship is such that if he's in her karka, she's not going to complain. She sees him as a team. Right? So the Gemara answers, the Olam, Beba, we are talking about a husband and his wife. What's the case? Extreme provocation. Kagon, Shechafer, Babar, Rashik, and Amaros. Here she got this property, you know, it's a. You know, it's a legacy, you know, 30 generations, you know, Ishmi, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, this is her property. And all of a sudden, he's ripping it apart and building a baseball stadium or whatever it is, some crazy activity. Right? Boros Shechanumaros, the Kivin Shehizik Bekarka Lepaneha, Behilo Michta. Right? Since he is destroying the property. And she's silent, even Shivlo Nizra Baal Bishdaro. He's going to throw away, he's going to say, listen, if this doesn't get her complaining, you know, matter of calling our joint lawyer or calling her lawyer, right, then nothing will. So it's safe for me to get rid of the shtar. So basically this Chiddush of the Rashbam, I don't know, this creative way of how to read it, Zohar Chiddush Mishtare, ends up going in both directions. The standard is, under normal conditions, a regular conduct in the karka that is threatening, but... You know, not Boros Shechanumaros, 3 years. And a diluted behavior in the karka? More. And a very provocative, more provocative behavior in the karka? Less. It's interesting, this comes up later on as well. The Gemara later on, in Mem Beis, quotes the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that any chazaka b'fanav, if you're present when the other person is being maksik in the karka, you're not, you know, in some distant land and you hear about it, but you're present, it's in front of you, then la'alter ha'v'chazak. We don't pass on that Rabbi Yehuda, but that's Rabbi Yehuda's view. La'alter ha'v'chazak. That's the view. So the Rashbam on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph discusses this view of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, it's obviously not based on Yisdar and Yishmishdare, because that takes 3 years, and you wouldn't get la'alter ha'v'chazak. It's based on the silence of the Marakam. If you just look at it for 1 minute, actually just look at Lamed Ches Amud Aleph for 1 minute. In the Mishnah says, Amar Rav Yehuda, the last, in the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, just look at the Rashbam for a minute. Amar Rav Yehuda lo amru gil mishanim. Okay, look at three lines before the end of the Mishnah, in that piece, in that Rashbam. Just trying to make it a little shorter. The Tama, everybody have that? Three lines before the Gemara, in the Rashbam. The Tama, Rabbi Yehuda, lo mishum de tlas shani mizdar in his bishtare. Elik and mifarish kadeshi yehe b'chule. The Tama, the chazaka ledidei, de lo shavik inishra chlu ala are b'lo rishuse. Hafilu sha'achas shasik. Elikach harichu gimel shanim, shete amu hayim ha'ara rochok. Rashbam says, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if the chazaka takes place in your presence, that there'll be an immediate chazaka, not 3 years, he obviously is not working with his zar and his mishtare, because that usually the shear is 3 years. What's he working with? The idea of shtikas marakama. So normally it takes longer to hear about it, etc. And if it's right in his presence, then the shtika kicks in right away. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So the Yad Ramah on this Rashbam, on this Gemara, on this Mishnah, quotes the Rashbam. He says, I think the Rashbam is wrong. I think that Rabbi Yehuda could also work with his Dar and his Mishtare. Why? So he explains, and the Ramah came, Ramah, of course, is earlier than the Rashbam. So 150 years earlier. So the Ramah gives exactly this idea, this explanation. He says, Rabbi Yehuda will be of the opinion that his Dar Inish Mishtare is not a set 3 years. His Dar Inish Mishtare is a function of an anticipated challenge. I keep the Shtar as long as it's reasonable for me to think that there might be a challenge. The second that there is evidence that the provocation has been sufficient and it hasn't resulted in a challenge, then I can feel comfortable enough to get rid of my shtaros. So Rabbi Yehuda said that's a sliding scale. It depends how provocative your behavior is. Just like the Rashba said about Boros Shechanumaros, so Rabbi Yehuda said, if the chazaka is right b'fanav, I'm not saying anything, So then he can rest assured that I'm not going to challenge him. And he can get rid of his star. So after 6 months, there's no reyus of not having a star. The Ramah disagrees with the Rajvab. Exactly the same idea. Okay. So that is the, you had a question. Yeah.
It just seems to me that we hold the feet, we hold the bottle of karka, we hold his feet to the fire by requiring him to make a machal,
right?
And he can't make it, drop the feet to the wrong person who won't convey it, and we have all sorts of obligations on the bottle of karka to protect within a time. Yet the masik, other than giving something blatant like a basket of fruit, no one is really requiring that his swine. I mean, he could just be a random person to the Bala Karka who sees many people going in and out of the property, but isn't aware that somebody has the idea of staking a claim.
I mean, you're asking, what if the Marakama is going to claim? I didn't know this guy was here for 3 years. I may have seen him here, but I thought he was just passing through for a night.
The portion of the Gemara only seem to put the focus on the Macha.
Not really. I would say it's evenly. Even in what we've seen already, we've seen pretty much that there are, equally two perspectives on this issue. Meaning there are, even within the Rava itself, the final Rava, I mean, there is the Ramban and the Rajba, and those who are saying it's the Marakamas to lose. And they're not saying what you just said. They're basically saying the Marakama's in a strong position. The Masik can never beat the Marakama if the Marakama plays his role. The only thing is that we expect that if he's a real owner, now, I'll get this in just a minute. Let's say we know that he was Mocha, and let's say we know that the Machzik never heard about it. That would be a good test case. So hold off for a couple of minutes and we'll discuss that case. Or, we have a Safek whether or not the Zoridish Bishtare should or should not apply. Is a Safek here going to help the Machzik, or is a Safek here going to help the Marakama? That's a huge, huge, these are all huge debates in the Rishonim. And I think what they show is almost equally balanced perspectives here. Who is in a stronger position? The Machzik or the Marakama?
Who is the burden of proof?
Right, that's what we're asking. That's exactly what the issue is. There seems to be a big debate. Because you have two you have to understand, this is how we portrayed it. I'll show you the Rambam in a minute, it's even more complicated. There are two people here, Marakama and Machzik. On a certain objective level, each one has a kind of muksakus in the Karaka. Marakama is a kind of, what is Marakama? The last owner that I know about for certain is the Marakama. Right? He has evidence. The last known individual with evidence is the Marakama. Now, in Hilchos Chazaka, there's a very famous, without going into details, the Kuntras HaSvekos, that's the brother of the Ksos. Ksos had two brothers, maybe had more, but two famous ones, who wrote Svarim. One is the one who wrote the Kuntras HaSvekos. He has a very, in Klal Aleph of the Kuntras HaSvekos, so he discusses what is the status of a Marakama. Let's say in Metalkalin. In Metalkalin we have a rule that Chazaka called Mashatakasel Amarei Shalom. Whoever's holding on to the object is king. Right? What about the Marakama? The Machzik, the Toface, beats out the Marakama. But let's say you had Marakama without a Toface. Let's say the object is sitting in the street, two people are arguing about whose it is, and there's a Marakama. But no one's holding it. Will he win? So that's a suffix of the Mishnah Melech speaks about this in Perek Tezvav Vilchos Tarn V'Nitan, and that's a suffix of the Akutus Asteikos as well. He tries to marshal evidence on both sides, yes or no. Will this guy win when he is the Marakama but not the Tovitz in Metalkalim? Right? So the Kuntras HaSvekos says, you know what? From a Motzi Mechaber L'Araya point of view, we could argue this point, but maybe we should take a different perspective, and that is, Chazakos in the world of Yisur V'Heter are really all like Marakama. What is Chazaka in the world of Yisur V'Heter? The previous status quo prior to the Safek. Right? You had an object, and it was had a certain status. So the presumption is that didn't change unless we know it changed. That's what a Marakama is. Right? Before the debate, what's the present ownership of the property? There was a previous owner, so the presumptive rights are those of the previous owner. All I'm trying to say is the Marakama is a very powerful force. But Muchzakus is a powerful force. We know that from the world of Metaltalin, where he wins. So the problem is in Karka, you don't have the same level of Tvisa, possibly, because you can't really control the object. So you have two Chazakos, you have two Muchzakim. Who's going to win between those two?
That's the difference. Metaltalin possession is 9/10 of the law.
Okay.
But that only applies to Metaltalin.
Well, that's what we're not sure of. We're not sure.
The fact that your toe face gives you the presumption of the law. But
why is that true? We're not sure that that's true.
But
we're saying is according to the Ritva, it's not true. According to the Ritva, what you have in Metaltalin, you have in Karka. Except for one thing, the Reis of Achvishnare, the equal Tvisa. According to Holchei Yusha, which we discussed some weeks ago, you don't have exactly what you have in Karka in Metaltalin, because it's not immediate. It takes 3 years to build in Karka a relationship that gives you the equivalent of what you have in Metaltalin. According to these perspectives, the ones that say Shtikas Marakama, then we're saying what you're saying. You happen to be inclined to that perspective. Namely, we're saying you can never replicate in Karka what you have in Metaltalin, because it's not something you can pick up and control and so on. So what do you do? How do you ever win? The answer is through Shtikas Marakama or some other factor. But then the burden of evidence is always on the Matzik. So that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing throughout these topics is a massive debate depending on these different models, you know, who is really in a stronger position. Now the Ksos, I mentioned the other day, says that this is all a Takana Drabanan. Now he says it's a Takana Drabanan. Wait, what are the implications of saying a Takana Drabanan? Exactly, again, your perspective, which is Min HaTorah, Machzik has no stand. There's no standing. Because this isn't Metaltalin, this is Karka. And Karka is no Tvisa. So who wins automatically? Everything? Marakama. That's a Dindaraisa. What's a Dindarabanan? So the Ksos says the problem is there are people who do throw out their shtaros eventually. After 3 years, after 10 years, whenever the guy throws out a shtar, he becomes vulnerable. He could be prey to some unscrupulous previous owner who will say, I have raya, you don't. You're a squatter. That was the takana, came to address that vulnerability. How are you going to protect legitimate buyers, right, who, you know, eventually throw out their evidence if there's no such thing as Tvisas Karka? I'm reformulating it, but that's basically what it is. So the closest answer is that's the takana of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, which says, let's do something to help out vulnerable buyers. What are we going to do? We're going to give them, after 3 years, we're going to believe them. But can you just hand over a piece of karka to someone who doesn't deserve it, like a machzik, and ignore the marakama who should have been in a stronger position? Not really. You can't do that either. So that's why the marakama has to have the right of challenge. If he doesn't hear about it in time, or he claims he doesn't, right, then it's not fair. There has to be the capacity to challenge. Now, if he could challenge, then the other guy would always have to hold on to his shtar. So you're not really damaging the marakama so much. What you're doing is building a well-balanced, calibrated takana, which is designed to be fair to everybody. Now, there'll probably still be cases where, you know, you'll have to decide in one person's behalf or another. Probably the more reasonable approach would be that if everybody does everything right, it's still the marakama's to lose. Meaning he's in a stronger position because he's the one who Daraisa is in a stronger position. But that is the view of the Ksos. That's how the Ksos understands it. Now the Ksos builds this position on several Rishon. Number one, the Rambam. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, and Hilchos Tohen Dinitan says, when he described back and forth, I'm going to read this more fully in just a minute, but just look for a moment, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, at the last four lines. The end of the four lines from the bottom. Page 6. Again, this is a massive and a complicated issue, but you can really see the interaction of the different positions also, the strengths and the weaknesses and how the Balei Halacha, you know, build their cases. So there's a line in the Rambam which is very subtle but very challenging. The Rambam says, Hayola limcha, once you heard about my possession, my squatting, according to your point of view, my possession, my point of view, hayolcha limchas b'fneidim, you should have complained in the presence of witnesses, v'todiyo sam, and you should have told them, informed them, shaploni gazal osi l'machat v'ener b'din, this guy's a thief and I'm calling my lawyer right away. Right? Hoil v'lo machisa, atah yitzadat al atzmacha. Since you didn't complain, right, it's your loss. You shot yourself in the foot. So the Ksos zeroes in on this line and says the following. If the Ramban were right, and this I think he's right about, if the Ramban were right that the basis of Kesef Kimoshanim is Shtikas Marakama, that proves that he's a liar, and that the other fellow is telling the truth, then the words Atay Sadata Satzmacha are not a precise formulation of that. Atay Sadata Latzmacha means you lost your advantage. The issue isn't losing advantage, you've lost your credibility. I mean, you've been proven a liar. We don't believe you. That's Atay Sadata Satzmacha. That's one proof. The other proof is in the Mukhe Yosef. If you open that up just for a second, the Mukhe Yosef, right at the beginning of the parak, the Mukhe Yosef uses the language of Drabbar. If you look here on page Yud Dalet Amud Aleph in the Daf Arif, look at the Gemara, the first line of the Mukhe Yosef, page Yud Dalet Amud Aleph in the Daf Arif, those of you who have Shas Gemaras. So this is not in the Sheikhs, this is in the Gemara. So the Gemara, first line of the Mukhe Yosef, Tvei Lo Mizdar. Right? I'm going on the Rabba, Tvei Lo Mizdar. You don't guard your shtar more than 3 years. Ki Savur Lo Ya'ara Olav Adam Od. Because the guy thinks I'm free and clear, no one's going to challenge me anymore. Kivin Sha'achal Gimel Shanin Deshufi. Velo Ira Rubo. Ulafi Shadasa Olam Kein Lo Tiknu Chachamim Ela Gimel Shanin. So it says, you see, the Mukhe Yosef uses the expression, Lo Tiknu Chachamim Ela Gimel Shanin. Takana Drabanan. However, I think that both of these are not such good proofs. The Rambam will explain in a couple of minutes. The Mukhe Yosef is telling us that the 3 years is based on a Takana Drabanan. I mean, Drabanan looked around, they did a survey, after many years of study, they figured out that the threshold of either Zarnish Bishtare or Shtikas Marakama is 3 years, and they were metakein that is the shear for this halacha. That doesn't mean that the whole institution of Cheskas Karkos, of Cheskas Ryan Karkos, is Rabbana. It just may mean that the Rabbanan were Koveya or even metakein a low plug that is Gimel Shanim. Let's say Baral Yashiv, you know, is a trigger happy from a lawyer perspective, you know, person, so he doesn't tolerate anything more than a minute. And other people have, you know, incredible, you know, patience, and they'll wait for 10 years. And the Chachamim took all these things into consideration, and they came up with a shear of 3 years. But does it mean that the idea behind Shtikas Marakama, or removing the Reisa, is Rabbanan? Not necessarily at all. With, I think, the Ksos does have strong ally, is in Rashi in Ksuvis, which you don't have in front of you, Yud Zayin, seems to speak about the institution of Gimel Shanim as a Drabanan, and the Rush. The Rush here in Perek Gimel, Siman Aleph, really uses the expression Takana Drabanan on the whole Gimel Shanim. Look here in Siman Aleph, it's on page 365 in the back of the Rush. So the you see where it says Gemara on the right side, Siman Aleph? Somebody have it? Then he adds, the tiknu chachamim sheim yavi edim sheachla gimel shanim b'shufi sheim tzarech laharo shtaro yoser. Not that the chachamim were metakein the shear of gimel. It sounds like the chachamim were metakein the whole idea of not needing a shtar, namely that a chazaka can take the place of a shtar. Okay. So I think the idea of the Ksos is well rooted in some of the Rishonim, the Rosh and Rashi, maybe not as much or as convincing in the Mukhe Yosef and the Rambam. What is the Shita Sarala? So let me just look quickly here for a moment, since I'm suggesting the Rambam never mentions anything about this being a Takana Drabanan. And the Pashtus, the Din of Betaltalin, for example, is a Din Daraisa. Chazaka Koma Shetaka Zenon, Maria Shalom is a Din Daraisa. Brown deals with those halachas, as I mentioned, in Perek Ches, Bukhotor Nitan, and there's a seamless transition between the Rambam's treatment of Metalkalin, Abadim, and Karka. Metalkalin Perek Ches through Yud, the very end of Perek Yud is Abadim, and Perek Yud Aleph is Karka. If the Rambam felt that Metalkalin was Doraisa, Tvisa, mediate in other words, and the Cheskas Gimel Shanim, the Raya, in Karka and in Abadim, was Drabanan, right? He should have said something. It sounds like the Rambam thinks all these halakas are, you know, of a single status, except that the details are different. There's Asuyin Lahashil, Lahaskir, which we spoke about, there's Godros, there's Abadim, there's Karka, the Shiurim are different, the circumstances may be different, but basically we're always talking about the same level of halakha, either all drabanan or all daraisa. Very difficult to say that metalkalin, kazaka, kovashataka, siyadana, maria, shalom, that that's anything but a din daraisa. So it's hard for me to believe, with the ksos, that the Rambam really holds his takan sakha. Alright, what about that line of atal tzadka la'atzmacha? And what is the Rambam's view? So I think that the Rambam's view, if you read it very carefully, is that the Rambam thinks that there's this titanic struggle between the machzik and the marakama. And exactly for the reasons that we've been describing till now. Till now we've been saying, well, there's a very strong case to be made for the Marakama. Right? After all, he's a Marakama. It's Karka. And maybe there isn't Tvisa, and so on. And not only that, not only is there less Tvisa in Karka, there's more Marakama in Karka. Because when you do establish a relationship with a piece of Karka, right, it's Nikral Shimcha, much more so than Metalkalin. Metalkalin, you can hide, you can destroy it, it can get destroyed. Karka is a kind of an asset which is identified with its own. So Marakama is stronger, and the new Tvisa is weaker. Both of these things are true, and they're not necessarily one and the same. Right? They might be two different points. The point is that, on the one hand, Marakama is very powerful in Karka. At the same time, why shouldn't there be some parallel, at least in time or after some, you know, significant effort to building up and creating Muxakos? So I think the point is that the Rambam thinks that the Marakama and the Machzik are almost evenly matched. And the Rambam says, since they're almost evenly matched, you have to, any little edge will put you over the top. But still now what we've been saying is, we're not sure, we have a Machzik and we have a Marakama. We can see the case being made strongly for one or for the other. But according to the particular Rishon, right, or Posek, it's one or the other. Either he's a Marakama person or he's a Machzik person. If he's a Marakama person, he thinks the Machzik can't do anything, you know, positive in Karka. And if he's a Marakama person, we're saying, let's say like the Ritva, because Karka's like Metalkalin, so the Marakama doesn't have much of a leg to stand on. I think the Rambam's view is the Marakama has a strong case, and the Machzik has a strong case. And the only thing that's going to divide them, Doraisa, is a little bit of an edge. Atayv Sarat al-Atzmacha, the Rambam, is that little bit of an edge. If you want to win, right, you've got to play the game perfectly, because the other guy, right, is practically as strong as you are, and one false move giving him the edge, right, puts him over the top. Why do I say this? Many things, but just very quickly. Number one, it's fascinating that the Rambam starts the halachos off in Perek Aleph. One would have expected the first halacha in Perek Aleph, parallel to Metalta, would be Cheskas Karka B'Gimel Shanim. Instead, again, this is a subtle point, just an impression point. The Rambam starts off by telling you how different Karka is from Metalta and how it's opposite, and until you get to halacha base, you get the impression that the Marakama is, you know, untouchable. Right? Kolak Harkos Hayuduos Lebalayan, this is page 6. Perket Aleph Halacha Aleph. Kol Karkos Eidus LeBalei Nafu Bishen Atla Takas Yida Yana Cherim Harein Becheskas Baleya. Ram starts off, you think this is a definitive statement without qualification. Karka is the Marakamas. Right? And it's a strong formulation. Kol Karkos, right? Harein Becheskas Baleya. Ketzad. Ruven Shoy Mishtamish Bechotze Kedero Shaham Mishtamshim Bechatzoseyem. Dorbo Maskiru La'acheru Bona Besoser. Piachas Man Ba Shimon V'ton Alam. The Omar Chatzazer Shetachas Yadko Shali Uschuri Biyadko Shul. Another guy comes along. He makes the claim that he is the new owner. Shiva Ruvain Shochah Isa. And the guy says, yeah, it's true, you were the owner, but I bought it from you. If the Marakama doesn't have any evidence that he was a Marakama, then Nishma Ruben has to be Yaman B'Makomo, as we discussed. If he can't prove he's a Marakama, there's nothing to talk, he's a man from the street, we don't take him seriously. The Maksik have the burden of evidence. If you can't prove anything, and basically, if he, the Marakama, can bring proof, and the Maksik, that he used to be the owner, and the Maksik cannot be proof, bring proof that he's the present owner, so the Marakama will win completely. If you stopped here, you'd say there's no such thing as Tvisa or Chazaka in Karka. But this whole parak is about Cheskas Karkos. So it's just a striking beginning. Now, of course, it's rectified by the next halakha, but it's just a striking beginning. Bamedvar mamurim shematzrichin lahavirayo yistaleg b'shelo nishtamish b'zman meruba. Everything changes when there is a zman meruba, when the guy's been there a long period of time. As if to say, when there's a marakama against a early stage machzik, right, there's no contest. But as time goes on and he continues to be in that karka, he builds up his credentials and a real struggle is now joined. He's conducting himself like an owner in this karka for 3 years. As long as the other fellow also has, you know, the weapons to fight this growing chazaka, you can't give him the power of a developing chazaka without giving the Marakama, who was previously in the stronger position, the capacity to, right, fight it. We'll get to that. Shimon and Asavi Pater. Nepnesh Omnul Shimon, we say to the Marakama, in Emes Atatoin Shalomakarta Vlodasata Lama Hoizamishtamish Shana Akar Shana Vikarka Echav Enolav Loshtar Skiris Veloshtar Mashkuna Velomachisabo. Now here, we didn't say Obsadat Alatzmacha yet. We're simply saying, how come you were quiet? Again, to me, what's going on in the Rambam is we're looking for an edge. These two people both have a strong claim to the Karka, one because of his previous ownership, the other because of his present presence there, which is a growing presence. And now the question is, let's evaluate anything we can get our hands on, any piece of evidence, conduct whatsoever, that we can look to, right, to establish an edge for one of these titans over the other. Ton v'yomar. Let's say the guy says, I didn't complain. I didn't hear about it. So the Rambam says, that would be a good claim if we could believe it, but we just don't believe you because the grapevine is so efficient that people are going to spread this piece of information, gossip, however you want to put it. Therefore, ho velo machisa, now he says it, atam hitzadata al atzmacha, meaning you lost your edge. Right? We don't know that you're lying. But it's not takana drabanan either. We're not punishing you. What we're saying is, you had the edge, but your silence causes you to lose the edge. Even if that doesn't prove or add to the machzik, it's not what the Rambam's saying either. This is not the Ramban. It's not the Rajba. It's not that the silence of the Marakama proves the case of the machzik. The silence of the Marakama causes him to lose his edge. And then the machzik, because he has what he has, namely a growing mukzakos, is going to win. The pika kumaisa mukhama, the shibush drachim ben amakom shoyim barubin ben amakom shoyim bashimon, if there's a breakdown in communication, pil acharubin etzo shonim otzino sim tachasyonim v'chazer so shimon, sheyachalam aloya dati shizem mishtamish bekarkar. If the mukzakos of the machzik is growing, but the marakama has no capacity to stop him, because he legitimately doesn't hear about it, because it's shibush drachim, right? There's some sort of communication breakdown, war or whatever. So then the Marakama is not atayiv sadata al atzmacha. Gimel we're going to skip. Gimel doesn't help us for the moment. Dalet. Now this is the best line of all. It's so easy to miss and so subtle, but when you think about it, this is the Rambam's Hizdar in his Bishtare. Notice that the Rambam didn't bring in Hizdar in his Bishtare in Halakha base when he describes Cheses Gimel Shanim, only in Halakha Dalet. And it isn't the basis of a delay like it is for the Ritva and the Ramban. Nor is it the basis of defining the significance of Shtikas Marakama as it is for the Rashba. All those things the Rambam has already dealt with. For the Rambam, the Zarnish Vishtare is a new issue. You have lost the edge, Marakama, by being silent when you should have, could have, probably did hear about it and said nothing for 3 years. Atoyet Sarat al Atzmacha. But didn't the Maksik also lose his edge by not having a star? That's not the basis of the Chazaka, but it's part of the Shaka Vitaria, right? Who's in a better or worse position jockeying between these two legitimate claims? The answer is, So this Darnish Bishtari for the Rambam is not the explanation why after Gimel, I'm sorry, why Toch Gimel there's no Chazaka. Toch Gimel there's no Chazaka because you haven't established a strong enough Chazaka yet to challenge the Marakama. It's the explanation of why even after Gimel doesn't Ach Bishtari haunt you and lose your edge. He lost his edge because Lo Macha, why don't you lose your edge because Ein Lecha Shtar? The answer is, the answer to that claim, counterclaim, you know, or point, counterpoint thing is, there's no Reis after Gimel Shanim, so Lo Hifsid Atzmo. That isn't the basis of his Chazaka, and it's not the basis of the delay of the Chazaka either. It's a totally different perspective. I'm missing the do you have a
No.
Yeah, thank you. So,
what is his ownership after 3 years, according to the Rambam?
I'm sorry?
His ownership after 3 years,
yeah,
according to the Rambam, should be dies?
I think it is. That's exactly what I'm trying to argue. Unlike the Tzos. There's no hint here that it's Rabbana. Oh. So then, in Halacha Hey, which I should have put here, but I didn't, the Rambam says, Hare Shemicha Shimon B'Medina Rechoka, one other problem. If you're admitting that had there been a reyus of problem, then the, you know, there would be an equal atah side of the latzmacha, right? We'd be back to square one with the Marakama having a little edge. So why not say, why not make a claim on behalf of the Marakama and say, I'm sorry, on behalf of the, on behalf of the Marakama, why not say, on behalf of the Matzik, sorry, why not say, I didn't hear the Mecha? In a case where the Marakama is Moche Toch Gimel, so he's not Mapsid Atzmo. Right? Why not say, for the Matzik will claim, I didn't know that he objected. I didn't hear it. Mipnei Shom Rimlo, says the Rambam, Chavrach Yesh Lecha, Verba Chavr Yesh Lecha, Veracher, the Chazaka Shigi Lecha, Hadavar, we don't believe you. The grapevine is good, efficient. The kimchi adata shemicha b'chatochimu in emesay lechosh shavlon is hard to bow. Atoyv sarat alatz mechav. Okay, tit for tat. That's the Rambam. However, so if this is the case, then the Rambam has a whole different perspective. Now, if this is really the perspective of the Rambam, it's an awful lot like Holkayusha in a way, or the Ramban's view of Holkayusha, namely, you build up a chazaka from Gimel Shanim. A chazaka which can rival Marakama in its pure power, and then you start examining who lost their edge. Okay. So this might help us with something else. We mentioned in the first year of the year, that there's a debate between Rishon about the relationship between Kinyan chazaka and Rayas chazaka. Right, if two individuals agree about a transaction, I'm going to sell you my karka, my avad. Right? So karka navada v'nikne b'chazaka. Okay, noal gadar paratz kolshu. You do some improvement in the land. Let's say you build a fence, whatever it is. If we agree that that's the symbolic mode of acquisition, that's going to work. That's called kinyan chazaka. The end of the parak, the second half of the parak, last third of the parak deals with this topic. The Ritzba, right in the beginning of the Masechta, we read this already, says don't mistake the terminology chazaka, which appears in both places. Don't think kinyan chazaka and raya chazaka have anything to do with each other, because they don't. Right? One is about chazaka and the peiros, the other is chazaka and the gupakarka, and never the twain shall meet. They have nothing to do with each other. That's the Ritzba. We also show that Rav Haigon, right, does think that they're connected. He says there are two chazakos, one is this, one is that. They're both chazakos, they work in different contexts, but they're both chazakos. Not only that, we show that according to the Rambam quotes three Gemaras that appear in the context of Cheskos Gimel Shanim, one of Chesed Beis, the Gemara says, Tzchiat Sela, again, just look at it for one more minute, Chav Tetz on the base. Balaam says as follows. Maskeflor of the Gemara says as follows. Maskeflor of Abibi Barabai. Elameata. This is a 3, 6, 9, 10, about 10 or so, 11 lines to the bottom. Maskeflor of Abibi Barabai. Elameata. Sunma Bame Yikne. How are you going to acquire a rocky terrain? And what are you going to do with it? There's no payros. So the Gemara says, Ela b'ukume b'chiyusa u'mishtecha b'peri. What you can do is you can use it for grazing or for spreading out your payros, and that's a chazaka too. Hachanami b'ila l'ukume b'chiyusa hinan mishtecha b'peri. What is this talking about? Cheskas Gimel Shanim. And the Rambam quotes it in the context of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. As well, in Hilchasoyim Benita. But the Rambam also quotes this very same halacha in Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira, which we have here. We read this, mentioned this already. Halacha Tezva. Rambam says, Hoysa karka tzchiach sela, she'en velo gader velo pirtza. It doesn't have a, fence, etc. You have karka. De'en a bazria, you can't plant in it. Harei chazaka shekonosa. How are you going to acquire this in a kinyan chazaka? Shtichas peiros or hamadas behema sham kiotzes emisharat hashmish. Right, if you use it for peiros or for grazing, you can acquire it b'chazaka under those conditions. Where did Rambam get that halacha from? From Chavtes on the base. But Chavtes on the base isn't talking about kinyan chazaka; it's talking about raya's chazaka. Similarly, the next halacha of the Rambam, Hamokah son of the Chaver, v'nichas malokeach, mezara, onira, osha asa peres ha'ilan, ozamro, kiyotzabem, hareza kondash, or yichzik, einach, ha'mechol asa. V'chinam asa pamokah, sal, shal peres, v'nasa lokeach, kona lokeach, miyad v'chazaka. Sha'rei, gila daito, shehikri lo son, azu kinyon gomer, v'asa peres ha'shalom. Very interesting Rambam. That's the Gemara Namin Amadeus, with a basket of peres. The guy, if the Marakama hands a basket of peros over to the Machzik, then there's a chazaka out there. What's that talking about? Gimel Shanim. You don't need Gimel Shanim. The Raya's chazaka is immediate. The Rambam quotes that halacha in Perek Yud Aleph or so of Hilchos Toin Benitan. We actually have that. Perek Yud Aleph halacha Tes. Right on the same page. Hey, Behuven, Adam Shazesh, Shimon, Balasada, Kibates, Peros, Sada, Zu, Venosnam, Lo. And he quotes it in Ukas Mechira for Kinyan Chazaka. The Ravid doesn't like either. The Ravid says about the first one, Omer Abraham Hamilsalo Mechavra, the Chazaka Achilas Perosi, the Achilas Peroslo Mahani Alekaneget Taina. The Cheskas Gimel Shanim, which is where this Gemara appears, is about Achilas Peros, not tikkun hakarka, and that is a situation where you have a taina. I own the land. The proof is I've been living in it and treating it as an owner for years. Aval mikna ba'ara lo kandi. But for kinyan chazaka, peiros doesn't help you. Elamida de mahani la'ara kagonal gadar parats. You have to, if you want to acquire the karka symbolically, you have to acquire the karka, not the peiros. If you want to prove that you are the owner and you're living like an owner, then your focus is on the payros. If you want to acquire the karka, right, symbolically, then you have to acquire the karka. That's the Rabbit. And then the next Rabbit is, Rabbam calls it Holach al Derech Shekasa. How did the Rabbam do this? How did he extrapolate from Cheskas Raya to Cheskas Kinyan and extend Cheskas Kinyan in the process to Achilas Peros based on the connection to Cheskas Raya? There's one other little piece of the puzzle. Actually, two more, but one which we're going to discuss. The Rabbin of Chizkiyo Matana, Perek Beis, says as follows. Nixa Ger She'en Lo Yorshim. The Rambam here speaks about Hefker or Nixa Ager. You have a property which is not owned by anyone, or used to be owned by a Ger. He dies. He has no Yorshim. So now it's Hefker, basically. So the Rambam says, Nixa Ger She'en Lo Yorshim, Nixa Hefker, Sodeh Shemachar Akum L'Yisrael V'Adayim Ohichzikba, a state in, of limbo with his owner. All these things, Kulam Dinam Shabbat, they're all the same in that Kolamachzik Bahem B'Derech Midarkei HaChazaka Kamo Shebar Nechas Mechira. If you use a method of Kinyan, one described in Nechas Mechira, Kana, you'll be able to acquire Asada Shal Hefker, Nechse Ager, etc. Chutz Na'achilas Peros, with one exception, Achilas Peros. Meaning, Achilas Peros is a form of Chazaka. Then Ram elaborates, Ketzad, we wrote in Hilchos Mechira, even though the Rabbid later is going to object to what I wrote, that if you do a kinyan chazaka on a piece of karka by eating its peros, that works over the objection of other Rishon. But when it comes to Hefker, Achilas Peros is not going to be a proper Kinyan. It's the exception, it doesn't work. Then Halacha Gimel tells us, Yesh Dvarim Rabim, Shem Hiksik Ben Alokech Lo Kona Adayin, Shem Hiksik Echad Mehem, B'nikse Ager, B'nikse Hefker Kona. And he gives examples. In other words, what's easier to acquire? Something which is, where there's a Das Makne, where somebody owned it and you're taking it away from their ownership, albeit consensually. Or something which has no owner, it's hefker, there's no resistance, and you simply acquire it, which is easier to acquire. So the Ramban Halacha Gimel says there are some things which don't work in the context of Das Makne, but they will work for hefker, which is a very reasonable position. Except that, in light of Halacha Gimel, you want to understand Halacha Beis, because we're saying that Kinyan Peros, or Chazaka of Peros, doesn't work in hefker, but does work when there's a Das Makne, a regular owner. And now Halacha Gimel being told the opposite, that it's easier to acquire Hefker than from a Das Makne. So what exactly is going on here? Why is it that Peros, Achilas Peros, is a Kinyan Chazaka, in Uchos Mechira, but not in Uchos Zechia for Nixay Hager and Hefker? And is any of this connected to the Rambam's extrapolation from Cheskas Gimel Shan? Okay. So I think that the answer is yes. I'm running out of time, so let me explain it very quickly. And then next week we'll discuss some other, especially Makah and Nafkaminas, of these issues. The idea of the Rambam seems to be as follows. Again, if you take the position that Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right, is based on Shtikas Marakam, okay, or a Takanas Chachamim, which is another way of saying that there is no Tfisa, there is no Muchzakus and Karka at all. So then, can there be a connection between Kinyan Chazaka and Raya's Chazaka? No. Because Raya's Chazaka is a misnomer. Right? It gives a false impression. There really, according to those perspectives, there is no real Cheskas Gimel Shanim of Raya. The Gimel Shanim is a Hechatimtzi. It's a set of circumstances, right, which highlights the silence of the Marakama, his lack of credibility, his suspect behavior, etc. The real reason that you win the karka is not because you win because something happened over the 3 years because you have a tfisa on the karka, but because he loses because he's a liar, we don't believe him. What does that have to do with a kinyan chazaka where you have to do a maisa chazaka, al pidin Torah, there's something called a chazaka, in which you acquire the karka? There's no maisa chazaka in Gimel Shanim, really. It's just a method of provocation, right, in light of which the silence is significant. There really isn't Gimel Shanim according to that whole school. But according to the Rambam, who thinks that there is this titanic struggle between the Maratama and the Maksik, and that through Gimel Shanim, you really built up something called Muksakos. So Gimel Shanim, Cheskas Gimel Shanim, is based on a Maisa Chazaka. Not only that, if it's based on a Maisa Chazaka, so we already know that there's some overlap between Kinyan Chazaka and Raya's Chazaka. What they share in common is Maisa Chazaka. But one could take it a step further. What is it about this Maisa Chazaka that creates almost the equivalent, not quite, but close to what we have in Metaltalin, in Tisa? What is it? Well, what's happening here? It's only through Achilas Peros. The answer is, Machzik ba, kidemechanski ba inchi, horaz bailus, behaving like an owner, right, is the muksakos in karka. In tisa, it's a physical possession. In karka, it's conduct becoming or befitting of an owner. If you behave like an owner, that is the muksakos, that's the tisa, or the equivalent of tisa in karka. So if that's true, so the Rambam understood that, you know, the overlap to Kinyan Chazaka isn't just Maisa Chazaka, it's more than that. Maybe in light of Raya's Chazaka, we should consider the possibility that Kinyan Chazaka works not just as an objective mode or Maisa Chazaka, but it's based on the principle of what? Horoz Bailus, meaning all sorts of, there are all sorts of different modes of acquisition. Mishicha and Hagbah and Shtar and Kesef and Chazaka. Right, each one highlights a different pathway to bailus, or a different aspect, different nuance of bailus. Chazaka highlights not necessarily the improvement of the karka per se, but behavior befitting, when I act like an owner in the presence of the owner, that's the davar hakona. That's what the Rambam means, probably, when he adds these words, which otherwise are very strange. Just give me one more minute. Okay, look again at Perek Aleph Halacha Tezayin. The Rambam says, the last line, why does this work? Im asaf amokher sal shaperis v'nasal lokeach, kanu lokeach miyad b'chazaka. So the Rishonim all say, well, how can you be acquiring the gufa karka? How is the achilas, or just handing over peros? What's that doing? So the Rambam explains, sha'are gila daito, shehikne lo sadazu kinyan gamur, b'nasa perosei ha'shalom. Now, if we were talking about chosoy v'nitan, and Raya's Chazaka, this would make a lot of sense. Meaning, you're treating him like an owner, so he probably is the owner. But we're talking about a Kinyan Chazaka here. So what if you're treating him like the owner? Why does that turn it into a Maisa Chazaka? Now, if I could say, you're the owner, we agreed to sell it, and I could jump up and down, that's not a Kinyan. A Kinyan is a defined form. What's the Rambam really explaining? Rambam saying the form of Kinyan Chazaka is Gila Daita Shehikhtu Asada Zu Kinyan Gamar Vinasa Perosei HaShalom Horoz Bailus. In other words, the overlap teaches us that both are Dinamaisa Chazaka, and the overlap to Cheskas Gimel Shanim of Raya shows us that the Raya is also the method of Kinyan in Hilchos Mechira. Ah, but if that's the case, now we can answer the other question. What was the other question? How come it doesn't work in Nixay Agar and Hefker? Right? The only thing that's going to work in Nixay Agar and Hefker is an objective Maisa Kinyan, not a Kinyan of Horoz Bailus. Why? Because there's no resistance. Hefker is Hefker. If I go into a son of Hefker and I eat the payros, that proves I'm the owner. It doesn't prove I'm the owner, it proves there is no owner. If there's an owner and I go in and I eat, then it proves that I'm the owner. Because the resistance establishes Horoz Bailus, but if there's no resistance, then Achilas Peros is not Horoz Bailus. So that's exactly what the Rambam says. Even though in Halacha Gimel it's true that when there's no resistance it's normally easier to acquire something, if the acquisition is based on Horoz Bailus, right, then the resistance actually is a benefit. So the Rambam says the reason that it works is the reason that it doesn't work in Hefker. So I think the total sheet of the Rambam is consistent. Okay, we'll take this next week.